Reveille, reveille, donks.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
It is Wednesday, the 10th of March, 2021, and it is time, donkeys, for Morning Combat. Hello, everyone. My name is Luke Thomas. I am from CBS Sports. I am joined by the gentleman, the pale-faced Quebecois, to the right of the screen, to the left of me. He's Lithuanian. He's into conspiracy theories. He has diarrhea every day. It's Brian Campbell. Hi, Brian Campbell, also from CBS Sports.
Hi, Luke. I'm unshowered, largely uncultured, but ready to rock and roll just the same with all the finest JMMA hot takes that you need in your life. Luke, you sound very like community college professor today, you know?
That's a sad kind of professor, isn't it?
I think you're a little too close to the camera. You've got this mixture of sadness and arrogance that I don't know where the middle line is on that. You know, it's kind of, it's interesting. But
well,
hey,
the camera is as close as it's ever been. I didn't change that, but
I mean, can we just get right to it where you can continue to make fun of me where yesterday on the set of our yet to be announced Showtime program that we were filming that you know, I may have had a seizure and my brain just stopped working. I mean, all right, go ahead, have it out, Luke. All right,
It's like, Brian, we need you to say "Cat in the Hat," okay? Okay, Cat in the Hat. Ready, roll. The dog in the barn. BC, what the fuck is wrong with you, bro? It was that for 20 minutes.
All right. Well, look, we laughed. We had a good, you know. Let's move on. Let's move on. All right. Maybe one day in a documentary, that footage will resurface. Hopefully not.
It will. I'm told it will resurface. I can't wait. But until then, we actually have stuff. We do want to move ahead, but we still have some leftovers from UFC 259, including about Aljamain Sterling. But there is also, of course, the look ahead. Maybe Amanda Nunes' next fight. Let's see. We've got some ideas about what PFL might be up to. Some scoring stuff. And, of course, we have SJ Dubs and fan submissions today. So a lot to get to. Thumbs up on the video. Hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, standard disclaimers, if you want to try Showtime, you certainly can. Showtime.com. Get a 30-day free trial. If you like it, you can keep it. If not, go bang yourself. If you want.
Oh, wow, Luke. I mean, you know. Yeah, yeah.
It's a Wednesday. What do you want me to say? On top of that, we have merch. You can go to store.show.com. B. Campbell is showing his nipple. This is what he was doing yesterday when he was botching the words. But you can go to store.show.com. This is not the new merch, but that's coming eventually, I think.
Well, you better buy the old merch, because once it's gone, Luke. This is going to be a full frontal assault of new merch coming people's way, okay? So you want to be a collector of all things MK, you better get 1.0 while it's still available, right?
All right, fine, fair enough. Won't argue with that. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's about it, BC. Anything else I'm forgetting to preamble to the show? It was nice to see you the last 2 days. Yeah, there's our socials.
Yeah, a lot of people thinking, Luke, you know, that energy we had, you know, can we bottle that when we show up in the same room, aligned in our processes and, you know, goals and desires, you know, we can make magic, Luke. I mean, I may have interrupted you 100 times, but you can't hold me back, Luke. Okay. So I think we had a good showing there. Hopefully as COVID continues to, thaw, if you will, we can get back to that bomb shelter more often, Luke. All right.
I would love to do that. I would love to do shows there at least. I mean, obviously we were doing them every week before. I don't know if and when that'll ever happen again. But it does seem like at a bare minimum, why not once a month? Why can't we go in there once a month? Do the thing where we quarantine, get tests, you know, do it and then be on our merry way. It's doable.
Coming, Luke. Also, please continue to check out our bonus content, not just, you know, Luke's fantastic live chat every Thursday, but I've got a really fun chat with David Benavidez this week, Luke. We're going to get to his fight. He'll fight Saturday on Showtime, probably on Friday's show. We'll set the stage for that. But a very high-wired interview. He's calling out the world at 168 pounds. He wants all that smoke. He might even want Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, for all I know, but he's using words like Canelo, Caleb Plant, so you're going to want to check out that little piece of business there.
All right. Well, with that in mind, let's get to our piece of business here on the show today. Let's start with some leftovers from UFC 259. And this is going to linger for some time. I don't think this is just an issue today or this week or, you know, for the foreseeable future. Until this matter is resolved, and probably even beyond then, this is going to be a topic of conversation. BC, there is continued focus on Aljamain Sterling's behavior once he was hit with the illegal knee by Petr Yan in their bantamweight title fight. And of course, since the fight has concluded, any number of media have weighed in on it, and it appears to have angered Aljamain Sterling. Now, I've not seen all of the different media responses, or the fans' responses, or the other fighters' responses for that matter. I've seen a little bit what Yan had to say. I saw that Henry Cejudo apologized. I saw that TJ Dillashaw was taking shots. But Aljamain Sterling did some interviews yesterday with various media outlets and railing against other ones. He railed against Ariel and DC from ESPN. He railed against Big John McCarthy and Josh Thompson from
individual... Luke, he went off on these people, okay?
He went off on them. Again, I did not end up seeing what Ariel and DC had to say, Daniel Cormier. I did go and watch what Big John had to say. I got some thoughts about it, but your reaction to what Aljamain is saying, why he's lashing out, what do you make of it?
Well, let's sort of set the stage a little better. Something we didn't talk about on Monday show that maybe we should have is that there were pictures that leaked over the weekend. So Aljo did what I still commend him for as, in some cases, the right thing. You know, he tried his best to get back in that fight. You can argue whether you believe him or not. Was he concussed or not? I mean, look, at this point, can I say, can we get off Aljo's back? He came out and said a hellacious pace and tried to win that fight. He fell behind. Then he got hit with one of the most vicious fouls in MMA history, and he threw the belt down. I mean, he did all the right things. The problem for a lot of people, Luke, and we, again, were not one of the people that weighed in on this, was that pictures came out of him in the hotel with his crew with the belt over his shoulder sort of toasting drinks. So I do understand why there was a initial backlash against him where it's like, okay, you know, you throw the belt down in the cage, but keep that same energy when it's party time afterwards and you're living it up. And, you know, some people said, hey, who cares? You know, he's the champion, whether you like it or not, give him that moment. But of course, a lot of people were also like, that's a bad look after what you just did in front of the cameras out there. Luke, we finally heard his side of the story during those rants you mentioned. And what he basically said is, you know, I wanted nothing to do with that title. I came back. My people that traveled for the fight were there. And, you know, they kind of were nudging him on saying, look, just take a picture with it. Just put it on your shoulder, whatever. He was against it. He gave in. He took the picture. Somehow that picture got out. And what he's also trying to say is, I was not partying it up and drinking. Somebody put a champagne glass in my hand for the picture. And he said, Luke, hours after this, he was vomiting and still sort of, you know, in negative recovery mode from the damage of the fight. Now, all of this, his explanation, too, you can take it for what you personally feel. But what I'm personally saying up to this point is, can we leave this guy alone? Like, he didn't ask for this foul. He did, like, the sportsman thing of saying, you know, okay, I'm the winner, but I don't deserve this belt. Don't put it on me. And I think now he's kind of right. And if he wants to go on a victory lap where he's sending all of our people to hell, I mean, that's fine. Go for it. Because he has been sort of labeled here as a liar and a hypocrite. When I want to hear your side of it, Luke, from everything I've seen, all the evidence I gathered, I think he's innocent in this entire thing. And I think he tried his best to get back in that fight. And I don't think it should be on a fighter to decide while they're half concussed whether they should continue fighting and if that makes them the champion or not. I think we got rule changes to make. No contest, vacant title, all that stuff, right? There's ways to put little incentives in there so no one can cheat the system. I think there's changes that need to be made. But as it pertains to Aljamain Sterling, can we get off the guy's ball bag? He didn't ask for any of this. He fought like a man, and I'm going to stand by that vision I saw, the image of him throwing the title down as saying, that's the right move, man.
I don't know what people want from him. This is the thing What answer are you expecting that you're going to get that's going to satisfy you, even if is it an admission that he embellished the results of the injury? I went back and I listened to what Josh Thompson and Big John McCarthy had to say. Thompson was pretty hard on him to a degree. We'll talk about that in just a second. Big John's biggest issue, quite frankly, was not so much with Aljo. They did think that he was embellishing the result of the injury and the head strike. But basically, they put, and Big John pretty much put the fault in the hands of the referee, that there's a question about whether it should have been labeled an intentional foul versus having 2 points taken, which would have made it a majority draw. And I think Big John's point was, if you take in 2 points and make it a majority draw, then Jan gets to keep the title, but neither person gets a win or a loss. So you have to run that back, and therefore that would be a much better circumstance. I certainly wouldn't disagree that that would be a much cleaner resolution to what we have. But this is what I want everyone, no matter who's out there, to understand. And by the way, Aljo needs to understand something too. But first, everybody else. Listen, guys, this is not hard to understand. Aljamain Sterling did not do anything illegal. He did not ask for an illegal strike. He did not conduct anything that put him in the way unfairly of an illegal strike. He just fought according to the rule set that he was given and suffered a quite damaging, how damaging we don't know, but that was not a soft shot that hit him in the head. And after that, he gets put in a circumstance where, one, if you are messed up, whatever that may be, and you tell the truth about it, fine, that's what you're supposed to do, I would imagine, on some level. Or two, you could be in a situation where it's not necessarily as bad, but we have created rules such that it is absolutely not only the fighter's choice to embellish, but if they do, they get rewarded. Guys, if you don't want fighters to take choices like that, don't allow them to take it, and don't make it in their interest to take it. They are human beings, and they are tougher than most of us, sure, but in the end, humans respond to the rational incentives you put out in front of them. You put out in front of him that path. Why are you surprised he took it? Because of the bad look that might happen? Who gives a fuck? If you want to change the way in which these events are handled, change the rules so that that is no longer necessarily in his incentive. Now, there should be something to be said, BC, about Aljamain Sterling. It is, he does not have to answer for anyone. On the other hand, I would, not that he wants my counsel, but to the extent I'm offering any advice, he's also got to understand nobody knows how injured he was. It, parts of it, I mean, I'm not a medical doctor. Parts of it look a little bit unusual, but none of us know. But because none of us know, and he was essentially tasked with this performance to convince us, true or not, again, I don't know, it's inevitable that there's going to be folks who are fixated on that part of the fight. I think rational observers should remove themselves a little bit, but he should also understand, dude, it's not fair, but that's just the way this goes.
And dude, look, I'm saying straight up that I actually believe Aljo had, you know, the best intentions in all of those situations. I actually believe his defense. But even if that's not true, even if he was partying it up, Luke, and had the belt on and took 1,000 picture shoot, dude, who cares? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's like, that's the way the rules are set up, to your point. You know, that's what you get when the rules are set up this way. He may never be champion again. I don't think he should be champion right now. I've already said that. But he is. So, you know, people saying, well, I saw that picture of him wearing it on his shoulder. Doesn't that contradict everything he said? Well, not necessarily, right? I mean, that's behind closed doors with his people. You got rule changes to make. And Luke, when I say the belt should go vacant and it should be a no contest, there are some people who come back and say, hey, BC, but what about if somebody's the champion and they follow on purpose? You know, there's some more nuances that need to be done. I'm not against John McCarthy's rule that whoever committed the foul, you take 1 or even 2 points away, and then you go to the scorecards. So you eliminate the idea of, you know, I think I know where I am in the scorecards. I'm exhausted. What if I can foul to save face? As long as you have rules harsh enough to prevent that. And I know that's why the rules are as harsh as they are now. They don't want anybody cheating the system. But you also don't want undeserved champions. So we got to move on past that, because Anthony Smith did the UFC a solid. Luckily for them right now, Aljo's, you know, let's say he's a little bit better than Anthony Smith. He's a little bit closer to the title. Maybe there's some interest here in a rematch. But I saw Peter Yan going in one direction. He made a stupid mistake. I don't need somebody who didn't win the fight as the champion. Can we just fix this situation? And can we get off
Aljo's ball? The one thing I thought was interesting that Josh Thompson brought up was that if you're going to be a commentator and your job is to essentially talk to the audience, that's kind of what you're doing, that in these arenas where there's no fans, you do need to be careful about what you say, because I think he's of the, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I think Josh is a very bright analyst. So I don't I don't know exactly what he was saying. I think what he was at least implying could have happened is that Aljo heard the commentators discussing essentially what his options would be in the event of X or Y happening, right? So if it's called this and called that, and Aljo says he can or he can't, these are the results that will, transpire. And so he was able to, I think he at least suggested it was possible. Again, I got to be very careful about this. But I think he at least suggested it was possible that Aljo may have heard that, and that could have influenced his decision-making. Again, here's the thing I just want to go back to. How do you know how injured Aljamain was? In the end, the only way to know is to either be him or to take a doctor's word for it. And if a doctor says it, what the fuck am I or you or anyone else going to say about it that it means anything? Dude, the situation is inherently ridiculous. You're asking a person to either, if he's not injured, to tell the truth. If he's injured or, can't compete in some kind of capacity, to tell the truth. Or if he's kind of hurt and borderline, to not at all tell the truth and be handsomely rewarded for it. Dude, you don't know how injured he is, and we're telling him it basically doesn't matter. What the fuck do you think he's gonna do? Yeah, there's gonna be eventually the guy who's like, I don't want to do that. That's great. That's fine. That makes things easy on me and you and the UFC and everybody else, BC. But it's just not life. So if you don't know how injured he is, and I don't, one way or the other, but I do know that that was his incentive to take that path, I'm not the least bit fucking surprised he took it. This seems so straightforward to me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, I'm saying I believe him. You're saying I'm not sure if I believe him, but either way, it shouldn't be that setup. That should
I just
not
BC,
be the
BC, here's the thing. If someone was like, what's wrong with him? Other than saying getting kneed in the head is not good for you, what physical things can I point out, short of like dramatic examples like eyes rolling in the back of the head, total unconsciousness? Short of that, what am I going to say about his condition that is at all medically informed? Me, his critics, his supporters, nothing. There's nothing we're going to say. So that's why I just don't understand why we're even fucking having this debate. The debate should be about what the rules should be in these situations because they're not so simple. It should not be, was he acting? Motherfucker, the rules incentivize acting. I'd be surprised if he or many other fighters weren't.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on PED use one time. Luke, I saw some reactions post. Kevin Ioli of Yahoo put out a story basically saying, look, the foul from Jan was so severe that I'm not even sure he deserves an immediate rematch. I'm against that take, Luke, because, from my point of view, Jan was up 3-0 on the way to going up 4-0, and he made a stupid mistake. So what he loses is the fight and his title. If they're going to go to that extreme, then he's got to get a second chance at this. Where do you stand on where we should go next? Because there was part of this sort of let's turn on Aljo was the fact that there's pictures lingering of him in the hotel lobby going nose to nose with Cejudo, which some people are thinking, oh, Aljo's, taking advantage of this opening and trying to lure Henry out of retirement. I mean, is this a no-brainer that it's an instant rematch to you?
Yeah, I don't know how you could do anything. I mean, this is the most unresolved championship fight. Even if there was a draw, that would be more. A literal draw is more of a resolution than this. This was a stoppage against the other guy who was winning, who lost his title. Like, this, there's no. This absolutely has to be run back. I understand the point. Yes, and we made it on Monday, dude. That was an egregious foul. Like, I understand Kevin Ioli's revulsion at what happened. But I also believe that I don't think Jan's a cheater. I think he's a mean fighter, but I don't think he's a cheater. That was a bad foul, and he paid for it. But I don't think, getting back to a situation where we're going in a different direction is the answer. The thing I would say, BC, is, and again, everyone wants the fighter to have all the responsibility here. They don't want anyone else to take up more of a cause. And the fighter does have some responsibility. It's not that I don't think it's true, but I'm just pointing out something here. In either case, it's funny to me that the guy who, you know, there's no way to medically know what the truth is, who was incentivized to take the plan that he took, took it. I mean, that's like, to me, the least controversial thing ever. The bigger issue is Peter Yan and his team didn't know the rules in Nevada. They didn't know the rules in Nevada, not for just any old fight, BC, for a fucking title defense. Now, on the one hand, if you're in a championship fight, you probably should know what the rules are in the state where you're competing. On the other hand, BC, that we have this totally disjointed confederacy of rules where one state does it this way, one state does it that way, and then you add in the language barrier, I still think it's an error. On the other hand, if you put fighters in a position where they have to figure out new rules every time they go to a different place, you're going to sow confusion, and we're living in the consequence of that now.
And I mean, I've seen all the takes in the last 48 hours of people saying, you know, Yan did that on purpose. Why the frick in hell would Yan do that on purpose, Luke? I would say people saying, oh, he wanted the money from the rematch. It's going to make him less money because of this. I mean, I just don't understand this. Also, Luke, I'm shocked this doesn't happen more often. Why? Because in a fight, Luke, in which, let's not undersell it, underscore it, overscore it, let's not undersell it, you can lose your life in there. So in a fight, Luke, you don't always know, is the guy's knee up or down? I mean, you're in a freaking fight. Add on top of that exhaustion, add on top of that possible fighting through a concussion and not really knowing where you are. I am shocked, Luke, that we have had very few instances of this, that this is the first time this happened in a title fight. It's shocking. It's eye-opening. Let's fix it, please, people.
All right, so I don't know when they're going to fight. By the way, the thing on taking pictures, it's like these fans, they don't want real people. You know, I'm not saying the fans. There are some people who are obviously, I think, quite level-headed about it. But there are a fair amount of people. They want their star performers to not be real people, to just performatively act in every public scenario so as to be pleasing to the largest amount of people or possible. And yeah, you know, minding your P's and Q's in society is generally the right thing to do, I think. It's certainly helpful. It makes the things go nicely. But on some level, people are going to be complicated, sometimes contradictory. Sometimes they're going to change their mind, or they're going to feel differently, or they're going to feel better. Maybe when he got the belt put around him, he did not feel all that great. Maybe when, if you hear him tell it, his friends came over and they were kind of bigging him up, and he's a young guy, and that was a weird event, and he didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, his friends are kind of putting the belt on him, and they want to take a picture because they want to be with the champ. Dude, I can understand why you might feel differently at 3 in the morning than you did, you know, whatever the case, when you're around your buddies. Like, this is a fucking scandal. The rules are what you should pay attention to, and nothing else. That's the end of it.
And if it's 3 a.m., your father must be lonely, Luke. Indeed.
All right. Speaking of, well, it's not a rematch, but speaking of fights that we are, let's say, anticipating, BC, it's now official, big guy. UFC 261, April 24th. Not sure about location yet, but either way, Rose Namajunas is going to fight Zhang Weili. This will be for the UFC strawweight strap. BC, you've gone silent. I can't hear you. I don't know
I'm
why.
I'm here, Luke. I'm
yes,
right
there
here.
There you are. Okay. There you are.
Okay, I'm right here.
All right. Your level of, as we would say here, how psyched are you for this fight?
Luke, please, please send me location. I will smash. I will smash all of them, Luke. I am so fired up for this friggin' fight. I mean, look, it's no worse than maybe the second or third best fight you can make in the sport. I'm saying that straight up. And I actually kind of like what they're doing on UFC 261, pairing this with the Valentina Shevchenko-Jessica Andrade title fight, which, Luke, be honest, especially in Shevchenko's title defense history, this is by far the best fight, you know, in flyweight title history that we've ever seen. So you pair that with what could be an absolute classic, former champion in Rose coming back for her belt, went through hell against Andrade in the rematch, and we don't really know where Zhang Weili's going to be. 1 year removed from that epic all-time great fight with Joanna, there's a layoff issue, there's, you know, the damage accrued issue. This is going to be a hellacious fight. Luke, maybe the first that I really want to need to be at, if this is in Vegas, or I don't care, I know they're not going to Texas anytime soon, but wherever you can put this UFC, you want to go to Tai Chi Palace, send me the location. I'm going to be there, Luke. This
Tai
is
Chi Palace. Tachi?
Touch me. Luke, I am so, Luke, you know, there was a fighter, you know, he's a decent, I mean, not really decent. He's a heavyweight. Jake Hager, he once said, you know, Luke, I'm rock hard with emotion right now. Luke, I have a phoner for this fight. Okay. Call me on it. Call me on that.
No, I'm not going to call you on it. Let me ask you this though. This is what I've been wondering. You've got really significant historical bantamweight fights from the women's side of the game. Where would this one rank? Where would Nama Yunus versus Zhang Weili rank in all-time? Now, the fight hasn't happened yet, so we can't call it great as a result of what we've seen. But, I mean, what is the significance historically of this fight? Or is it just a good contender versus champion bout?
I mean, I think it's a little bit better than the latter, but not necessarily the former, meaning it is a former champion, you know, who's went through some stuff, got slammed on her head, didn't know if she was going to continue, and yet worked her way back there. So but I think even better, Luke, than the champ versus ex-champ, you know, where does this tell us on the history of the strawweight division? Let's not forget, you know, it was Joanna's division for a long time until Rose took that from her. It's also just a great style matchup. I mean, top to bottom, the straight ahead, tough as nails, full throttle cardio style of Zhang Weili with the power, the ability to finish against someone in Rose who is just next level in certain categories, has become an insane boxer, obviously has the submission game to fall on, but also, to be really, you know, blunt and honest, can be up or down and can be hit or miss at times too, you know, based on the fluctuation of where she's at, you know, mentally. And I've loved her journey. When she is dialed in, Luke, talking about Rose here, she's as great as any female fight I've ever seen. I mean, okay, maybe she doesn't have the accolades of Amanda Nunes, but Rose at her peak A game is great. If she can pull that out against Zhang Weili, this could be a hellaciously fun, it'd be more tactical than the Joanna one. The Joanna and Weili Zhang just ran into each other for five of the best rounds I was ever privileged to see, Luke. I think this one is going to be a lot more about technique and strategy, although it's also going to get hairy in there.
Dude, if she ends up beating Rose Namajunas, listen to her resume just in UFC. She will have beaten this is talking about Zhang Weili, obviously. She will have beaten Danielle Taylor, Jessica Aguilar, Tisha Torres, Jessica Andrade, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and what we're calling the greatest women's fight we've ever seen. And then if she ends up beating Rose Namajunas, dude, that is like pound for pound shit right there. I'm not, yes. Again, I'm not saying number one, but like, how do you have a resume like that? You know, at that point, she'd be 22-1, and you're not at least considered highly for a place in the top 10. I don't even know how that's possible at that point.
Yeah, this really has a chance for Zhang Weili to double down on her potential, for greatness. And I mean, look, in that Andrade win, even though I did question Jessica's strategy and mindset there in China, she knocked her out in like under a minute. I mean, that's a pretty powerful damn statement she made to arrive on the scene. I think there's also a lot of pressure on her, Luke. I'm not reading this like in print. I'm reading it from reading the situation. I mean, she's like, her Zhang Weili winning the title was obviously such a great timing for the UFC in a long-term financial strategic moment, right? They're expanding in China and they have their first Chinese-born champion winning it on home soil. I nearly said Hope Solo there, Luke. Wow. All right. On home soil by knockout. But yeah, I feel like there's pressure on her to live up to everything, and yet she seems fully suited to carry that. I mean, look, Joanna sent her to the, like, down the hall in the back room of hell, and then there's a stairway, and then you go down, Luke, and then you gotta get by some flames, and there's probably a few Canadians there, and then you get to the sub basement of hell. Joanna dragged her there, and Weili walked right through it. So she has the potential to be a special fighter. But Luke, do you agree with what I'm basically saying about Rose, that although she's had ups and downs, I mean, her record's 9-4. I mean, that's almost Matt Serra level. When she's great, she's pretty freaking great, Luke. I mean, yes. I think she might be the only one right now that I'd favor over Zhang Weili. And I don't think everyone else is. I think Zhang's going to be the favorite coming in. I just really like Rose in this matchup.
Yeah, Rose has had a really Randy Couture-ish career, real big punctuated highs and a series of noteworthy lows. The Carolina Kovalevich one, I think, caught me by surprise. Andrade winning the first time didn't catch me by surprise, and that she won, and the way that she won, of course, slamming her on her effing head was kind of big. And then before that, from, you know, Invicta, when she, but you know, she had flying arm bars in her second fight, Rose did. I mean, that's just kind of who she is, right? So this is another one of those options where if she becomes a two-time champ, and beating Joanna was big, and then defending it was big, but then she lost it to Andrade. She got revenge on Andrade, but it was over three rounds, not five. She was kind of fading a little bit there at the end, so who knows what that would have been. But if you go out there and you beat, you know, Zhang Weili, who beat all these other folks, you know, I mean, dude, this is such a special fight. You have either case, you have somebody either recapturing a title by, you know, just demolishing their peers with incredible performances, you know, in Rose, although she's had a series of lumps, or you would have the case of Zhang Weili winning, where it's this just consistent level of ability, consistent level of deliverance at an extraordinarily high level. Either way, dude, women's strawweight is just unsurpassed greatness in the women's side of the game, frankly, in the entire game itself. And this is maybe, you know, on it's going to be hard to beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Zhang Weili, but if there's any potential rival you could point to on the calendar and say this might give it a run for its money, I feel like this one could be it, BC. That tells you how special it is.
We should consummate our relationship, Luke, from the standpoint of being in the same room when these two fights happen, because I'm ready. I'm ready right now for that fight.
I don't need to see you take your clothes off, but, you know, to each his own. All right, BC, topic number three, speaking of the women's side of the game, Amanda Nunes taking on Juliana Pena. Maybe. We'll see. Apparently, Juliana Pena has been going on an active, let's say, lobbying campaign. Since her last win, she's been talking about it, but she hasn't stopped at all. According to UFC President Dana White, Juliana Pena has been texting him all night. She's been busy saying, yeah, we could do that. Now, apparently what Nunes said was, the Holly is off. She can fight Jermaine, Nunes said at the post-fight press conference. I feel like she has to get in the mix, but we'll see. I'm going to go back down. I'm going to go see my diet because I'm pretty heavy. So, yeah, I'm a champion. I'm never going to turn down fights. I'm always going to be facing over Dana wants me to face. BC, is this the one to make, Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena?
Probably. And it's more of a testament to the fact that there's not much else going on. I mean, you know, I think Holly Holm, who's stated her preference of trying to get a rematch with Amanda and do it at Bantamweight in for the title. I mean, could she get there with her name value and all that? Yes, but she also just had to pull out of the Juliana Pena fight with kidney issues, Luke, and she's looking to hope recover and get back and make that fight. I mean, I could see Aspen Ladd as a title contender, but she's just coming off a serious injury. Outside of those or Valentina moving up, there just ain't no one else. So I think in Juliana Pena's favor here, Luke, even though she's had some setbacks and ups and downs and layoffs, you know, I mean, you remember back when Rousey was champion, Pena looked like the next big thing. But at the very least, she's streaking coming off a pretty damn solid win over Sarah McMahon. And it's also somebody that can sell a fight a bit. Now, look, she can trash talk all day and it's not going to sell this fight too much, but she makes it fun. She's not afraid of the champion. She's going to get up in her face. And I think at this point, with the fact that Nunes is just dominating people, That's a decent sell right there. It's kind of like in the midst of Rousey's run, Luke, where we found Betch Gohea, right? She's like, I don't care. I ain't afraid. I'll dance right in your face. I mean, it was a nice distraction to the idea that Nunes is still going to win. And I think even in this matchup, Nunes is still going to win, Luke, but at least it's somebody who's live, ready, aggressive, and believes in themselves and is calling for it. I'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, she's aggressive. It's interesting in the sense that, you know, most of her opponents are, they kind of find them. So especially at 145, it's like, oh, yeah, they kind of find themselves in these positions where it's like you win one or two and it's a title shot. Again, in that sense, she's been off for a while. She had the losses before. She only recently got back in the win column, I think, after a long time. But the point being is this, BC. She is in the win column. She beat someone noteworthy in that division. She did it in a very impressive and interesting way. And more to the point, it's like, dude, what's the better idea? Amanda Nunes has already defeated everyone else who's held this title in this weight class, in the other weight class too, but we're talking about 135. Like, you want to run back Holly? For what? You want to run back GDR? She fought GDR twice now. Why would you want to run that back? Yeah, the second one might be, if you look at the first GDR fight, BC, to the second one, you know, it's a different fight. GDR was putting it on her in the second one, and there was a real need for Amanda Nunes to go to that second, third gear of her game to really get the win. So in that sense, yeah, you might get a different fight, but are you really going to get a different outcome? Do you really believe in your heart of hearts that this time Holly Holm has it figured out? Maybe some of you do. I don't. I'm not sure if Juliana Pena does, BC, but here's what I do know. It's a fresh look. It's a fresh look in the division. At least one side is angrily campaigning for it, aggressively. You would think that on the ground, Amanda Nunes would be able to handle that, but Juliana Pena might be able to surprise you. I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world. That this fight is the right one to make. When they want to make it, I don't know. But if anyone has a better idea for a more interesting fight, okay, Shevchenko. I got news for you. The Shevchenko fight might be more important for those two women, but the Pena fight might be a lot more fun. I'd rather go with that in the short run, to tell you the truth.
I think you've got too much fear, Luke, that this third Shevchenko-Nunes fight will be too technical and too
not for me
Thompson
personally.
Woodley 2-ish.
Not for me personally.
I think you should drop that fear. I think that's Valentina's chance, Luke. And I asked this to you offline while we were under the influence of influences, and I said, look, if Valentina goes in there and beats Nunes and does it in some form of convincing fashion, does she bring the GOAT home with her? Is she the new GOAT? I do think that the GOAT title doesn't typically transfer as easily, but if anybody's in the category of having a shot at competing for that title along with Cyborg, who gave it to Nunes after she knocked her out, it's obviously a mythical ceremonial GOAT title, but yeah, I mean, I wonder, Luke. I mean, imagine if Valentina beat Amanda, you know, after having like some. Imagine if she did it in like a Marquez Pacquiao 4 type way, where it's like the, you know, close on the scorecards but came up empty, close on the scorecards but feel like I was robbed. So now I'm going to finish her. I mean, that would recalibrate a lot of things, Luke. So I think you should get excited about that fight's potential.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Marquez was, how do I say this? He was really muscular by the fourth fight.
Right. He was hot-wired, yes, Luke.
You know, I mean, I don't know that was the same Marquez. Now, granted, Pacquiao, I think, was taking creatine, too. You know what I mean? I think he was
He was putting the cream and the clear on his toast in the morning. You see the size of his calves?
I'm just saying, I don't know that you can expect that from Shevchenko. So for those reasons, I'm not sure that you can map that out that way.
For those reasons, I'm out. Very Shark Tank of you, Luke. I did want to ask you, there's been some more Kayla Harrison rumblings of, hey, could this super fight ever happen? Luke, don't they train in the same gym? And
ATT,
I know Kayla
yeah.
has been trying out the 145 class and some of these like one-offs she's been doing. PFL is on the same network as ESPN. If there's ever a chance for a special situation, like UFC tried to make Fedor come over in a special situation, but as we've talked about a million times with Vadami and all them, with M1, Dana's like, no, I'm not going to let you co-promote my card. That didn't happen. Is there an opening here for a special situation where Kayla almost one-offs her way into a Nunes title fight at 145?
That would be the only other acceptable response. Like, we're talking about a universe where the UFC looks inwards. Who do we have on roster that makes sense for Amanda Nunes? Your only two choices to me are Shevchenko or Pena. Although I should say those are your two best choices, looking inwards. But if you want to expand the scope of the search, BC, and so now Kayla Harrison's in play, that seems like that's the best one you could do, period. Because I don't know that Kayla's ever going to get to a level where on the feet, she's, you know, even close to what Amanda Nunes is. But on the ground, while she has had some finishing issues, she's strong as shit. She knows how to get the fight to the ground. She has good passing. She's got good ground and pound. Like, that seems potentially doable. I don't know, but that at least appears to be a real threat. Or a threat you should take seriously anyway. But I don't know what the fuck they want to do with that, man. It's so hard to know how they... Sometimes UFC just goes all in on free agents like Michael Chandler, and you're like, wow, that was really easy, you know? Like, they didn't badmouth or distance themselves from this person once. And then sometimes it just, you know, they're always at the end of their reach, whether by choice or by accident. I don't know. She kind of feels a little bit more the latter.
If it could ever happen, I think Kayla's got the right manager in Ali to try to make something weird like that happen. But, Luke, final point on all things Amanda from me. This is the last one for me. Thanks, John. Okay, last one for me here. I wanted to say, did you see that the Twitter pics that the Cyborg van There was like a RV or a van that had Bellator and Chris Cyborg like images all around it. It was parked like next to the UFC Apex, so everyone driving into the arena saw it. Luke, what is with that? Because obviously with Cyborg being the Bellator champion and with how bad her exit happened with the UFC, where they basically were like, get away from us with the whole video situation, we ain't seeing that rematch anytime soon. Then what's the point of that? Why was that there?
I don't know. I don't know why that was there. Because it's a good way to get some free publicity, maybe?
Do you feel robbed as I do? Do you feel robbed as I do as a fan that we didn't get that rematch? Not that I'm saying that because, oh, I think Cyborg is a better fighter. I'm just saying, like, the first fight was great, and it was a true super fight, and I was front row, and it was a knockout, and it was insane. But you feel like, given Cyborg's resume and history, she had a bad strategy, and she got served. You could have ran that back, Luke. You could have ran it back.
You could have. But I'm much more able to lament fights that didn't happen at least once than ones that didn't happen twice. I tend to be more of that variety. So, like, to me, not getting Lesnar versus Fedor stands out. You know, to know Tony and Habib, it's like, you didn't quite get that one either. Not so much Habib GSP, which is a stupid pipe dream that we've talked about endlessly. But, yeah, it would have been nice, but I don't like, oh, man, you know, gosh, how am I going to sleep through the night? We didn't get a rematch. That's not how I look at it, per se.
Luke, I was in Jersey City yesterday. And I saw you from a distance, and I yelled Dino 17 times, and you never turned around once.
Yes, because I don't respond to weirdos yelling random two-syllable words at me as I'm in Jersey fucking city. I just stay moving,
brother. Wasn't that your frat boy nickname when you and your boys used to play quarters over there?
Yeah, but I don't know you, and you're weird. I mean, that's pretty fair.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Let's get to this one. Kind of a fun little side thing. Cub Swanson, UFC featherweight, a few weeks ago, but he only talked about it recently, which is why we're bringing it up, put out a tweet saying that, you know, hey, wouldn't it be cool, or, you know, what do you guys think of the idea, basically, that MMA media should be required to get or to have three amateur fights before becoming media? And it produced a lot of people. A lot of MMA media were angry about it. Me, I'm dead inside, so I don't feel things. So I just didn't really care. But you also got a lot of responses from folks trying to reason through like why it's not necessarily a good idea. Before we, and by the way, Cub was just saying, I didn't really mean too much by it. It was more of a hypothetical. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if MMA media kind of understood where we were coming from a little bit more than just as a fan? But you could experience what we experience, and you could possibly understand our process on a deeper level. That was just some wishful thinking. Cub's a great guy. He's not a bad guy. I think Cub was just thinking out loud about an idea he thought would improve media. I don't think that it would, but I didn't see anything harmful in what he had suggested, BC. What do you make of him sort of circling back to this now and the controversy that it produced?
I mean, it was a short-lived controversy, right? And it's not new. I feel like journalists in boxing are much more sensitive to this topic. It comes up a lot from, you know, a fighter hearing he was criticized by some, you know, basement keyboard warrior like myself or somebody who, you know, couldn't go a half round without dying of a heart attack. And they're sort of like, what'd you accomplish? You ain't done shit. You shouldn't be able to have this job unless you've fought. And, you know, that's a slippery slope. Does it help inform your job in general? Like, I mean, you've rolled for years. Does it help inform your job as a technical breakdown? Of course, you know what I mean? All of that helps, but it's obviously not, doesn't have to be. There's been plenty of great coaches in sports who were horrible athletes or didn't even have a history playing that sport. So it's the same with journalism. I think Cub circling back was just his way of saying, like, I don't actually believe this. I was just sort of having a discussion about it, and the thing blew up like crazy. Luke, it's a non-issue, non-story for me. I got nothing to say about it.
You know, here's the thing that I just don't.
Unless you want to have a three fight series with me, Luke, to fulfill this request, this requirement.
You really want to go 0-3? I mean, that's a little weird, but okay.
I mean, look, the odds would be against me based on the fact that we're not even in the same weight class, Luke. Okay, the odds would be against me, but I do know your weaknesses better than most. Okay, not just the potential of a choke, but I'll go gallbladder and I'll go hard, Luke. Okay, I have that kind of gall, bro. All right.
To go for the bladder. I would just say this. Is it true that if MMA media had each three fights, that the media would be better at their jobs. Well, some might be. I mean, you certainly wouldn't be worse, I don't think. That it would universally create better media, I think, is very much overstated. And it kind of tells me most folks, even well-intentioned ones, don't really understand what the job entails. For someone like me, yeah, three amateur fights would probably be quite helpful. But I have a somewhat unusual job. I don't do the sort of normal things that MMA media does. And to get, like, for example, like, what would I say is one thing I could grant? If I could grant an ability on MMA media at once and make all of them better at something, what's one thing I could do? I would say to, I wouldn't pick out three amateur fights. If I could wave a wand, I would say something like, understanding online metrics, understanding online analytics, the ability
to... Well, look, it's not really about that, though, right?
Hold on, let me finish. The ability to quickly turn around photos, or the ability to quickly turn around videos, or someone who can write quickly under deadline. Those, to me, to do the actual job... Yes, it wouldn't make you more of an expert on the actual fighting, but you wouldn't need to be an expert on the fighting. You need to be just sort of kind of literate about these matters, but then have all these other skills related to the production of content. Those are way more valuable. If I'm thinking about hiring someone, and you've had three amateur fights, but it takes you 5 hours to make it under deadline, and you don't know how to really use Instagram properly or whatever, you're not that good. You're not that useful to me. But if you had no fights, but you watched for a long time, you can write under deadline. You do know multimedia. You can program in, HTML or whatever. You're far more valuable to me than otherwise if I was hiring. Look,
that's the most good faith response I've ever heard on a non-question. So I give you credit for saying it.
I'm serious, though. Wouldn't you agree?
It's not about that at all. Do you know why these debates come up? Not because fighters think media members, if they had three fights, could be better at breaking down fights. No, this debate comes up because fighters are sick of people that couldn't beat them in a fight having an opinion publicly about their mistakes their decision making. And look, I see both sides to that. Number one, we are in the, in terms of media, we're in a very different digital and beyond new media era, entertainment heavy. So, do we even on this show say things that are insensitive to a fighter? Of course, right? But it's also part of our job. We're trying to make a great show. What this is really about is, if you haven't been in there, if you don't have the toughness to go in there and fight, you shouldn't be commenting on somebody's toughness and their decision-making in a fight. And to that degree, I get it. I mean, that's not wrong, But at the same time, it's like, there's a small percentage of people who could do this for a living and who want to do this for a living. That doesn't mean, because we're not in that percentage, that our opinion is baseless and worthless. That's sort of the line right there.
Yeah. And the other part is, I also tend to think, we'll move on after this. I think that the fighters believe that if MMA media had fights under their belt, amateur or otherwise, it would make media to them something that they'd be happier to read, or that it would make conversation about or watching the videos better. Like, it would make them feel better about how everyone is discussed, whether it's through erudition or the even-handedness of discussing a topic. And I don't think that's true at all. You got Big John McCarthy, a pioneer in refereeing, also has a black belt in jiu-jitsu. You got Josh Thompson, hell of a commentator, hell of a champion, hell of an elite lightweight. And they were critical of Aljamain Sterling. Like, it didn't please him in any capacity at all. I think they want MMA media to be nicer. And my only response to this, BC, is if y'all think MMA media is not nice enough, literally the most compliant media in all of sports media, you should try seeing what they say about folks in NFL media or even college media. They rake those fuckers over the coals. I would argue they've got it good and they don't know that.
I think you're right. I think this is the largest percentage of group of people who are happy to be there and want the health and support of the sport they cover and get paid for to only grow, which dissuades them from doing certain investigative and breaking news type stuff. This is the safest place possible. But Luke, I get it. No one wants to be criticized, right? So you get it criticized, sucks. It changes everything.
It sucks. But the thing about I've seen it on certain occasions where I've been criticized, not that I'm as famous pro fighter or something, but it happens on occasion where I'll come up and people will have their opinion. And if they bring it, again, if they bring it to my doorstep, I'll block and tell them to shut the fuck up. But if they don't, like, they just go on their merry way and talk about it, you got to just let it play out. You can't fight the ocean. Let them have their say. If it's egregious enough, you know, all right, you can, you know, fire back. But if you don't need to, don't.
And if they call you a risen racist, you take the L, Luke. Okay?
Yeah, you just take the L, you know, and then you stop doing karate chops in the air. BC.
That was taken out of context, Luke. Come on.
I know. I'm just having fun.
Is there a home
fun.
For comedy anymore besides Brendan Schaub's show? I mean, come on, Luke.
I'm having fun. I'm chill out. All right, last thing on this. Not this one, but separate thing. Pro Fight League, you know, the PFL, has partnered with Verdict MMA. They're going to offer fans a chance to score fights on the main card on ESPN2 for all of 2021 PFL shows. I've not used Verdict MMA, BC, but I would love to know your opinion about this. Isn't this essentially they just all vote on who won, but they have a point system that makes it a little bit more clever?
I think it's interesting. It doesn't mean anything. It's the same thing as having an unofficial score like you see on a lot of boxing broadcasts. But if it's something, Luke, where they will be showing on the screen, and it's, like you said, it's based on a system. It's not just, hey, drunk guy, who do you think's doing better, right? It adds an interesting talking point, and I think it adds to the idea of, is three judges sitting cage side the right amount? Should there be one watching on a monitor? Should there be five and you narrow down the highs and lows and get down to the three? I mean, there's still a lot of debate about scoring. This doesn't fix anything, but I think it certainly adds some interesting insight and entertainment to the whole discussion. And Luke, it has some people saying, what if the third judge was America? Like on like Dancing with the Stars or some American Idol bullshit. Luke, would you ever want to live in a world where you have two judges cage side and the third one is everybody watching at home and that's it at the end of the day?
No. Mm-mm. Okay. No, a jury of your peers can mean many different things. You know what I'm saying? No.
Popular vote. Yeah, it would become a popular vote is what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know that I would want that kind of capricious whim out there. I'm looking at it now. So, yeah, you can score rounds like who won, you know, like X or Y, but you can also see like how many people, if let's say 1,000 vote, how many had it at 10-8, who had it at 10-9. There's sort of a predictive element to it. Really, it's just PFL being like, look, no one gives a shit about this product. We got to find a way to get people to care. That's what it seems like to me. But it's a perfectly reasonable way to kind of get there. And, you know, the PFL experience is one where they're constantly being like, hey, here's how fast this punch was thrown. It was thrown at, you know, 50 miles an hour or whatever it is. And then they're doing this. They kind of experiment with a lot of these inanities that don't mean a lot, but they can be fun over time. Last one, BC, we've got some stuff announced for PFL season 3. Fabricio Werdum is going to face Henan Ferreira. Kayla Harrison is going to face Mariana Moraes, who, by the way, is 16-10 is her record. Also on the card is the brother of Kamaru Usman, Mohamed Usman, who's a big heavyweight. How excited are you for I got to tell you, season 3 of PFL, easily the most intriguing season they've had for these two reasons, for the Anthony Pettis reason, for the Rory McDonald. People forgot Rory McDonald's at PFL. For all of those reasons, not a bad season they're kind of putting together here.
Yeah, for all of those reasons, I'm in, Luke. I'm into what they're doing now. And that, you know, does that out me as some sort of filthy, gross casual who's only in it because I know the name of Fabricio Werdum? No, not necessarily. But, you know. I do live loose, life on the edge, Luke, right? Yeah. Deal with it, Luke. They pay me cash for this shit, right? Wow.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Performance art, I think, Luke. I don't know.
I hope you understand acting like you're a 11-year-old who has been given too much Adderall. That's not art. You know that, right?
Look, I've had this debate with you enough, but no, seriously, look, PFL is doing some things. I like the matchups. I like the brackets laying down. The proof will be in the putting, Luke, of whether you sit down and watch it this season.
Yes, that's really quite it. But we'll see. Some of them, I'm definitely Anthony Pettis. I got a feeling Anthony Pettis isn't going to win that season. I'm telling you right now. I don't know what's going to happen, but I got a feeling he ain't the guy. So that should be kind of interesting. Also, Kamaru's brother, Mohamed Usman, is seems like he could make some trouble for folks at heavyweight, so could get kind of interesting. All right, before we move on to SJWBC, I want to let our Morning Combat listeners know about Paramount Plus, which is live now. You've probably seen the Journey to Mount Paramount spots featuring Bill Cowher, James Corden, Patrick Stewart, Beavis and Butthead. Quite a squad. Paramount Plus is live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. You can go straight from game day to movie night with Paramount Plus. Stream iconic movies like The Godfather, Indiana Jones, Mission Impossible, and new episodes of critically acclaimed original series like Star Trek, Picard, The Good Fight, and The Stand. And get this, it's where you can dive into live sports from us, CBS Sports, including the NFL, March Madness, the Masters, Champions League Soccer, my favorite. And of course, they don't put this in here, BC, but I'm going to add it, Morning Combat as well. It's not on the app, but you know, it's part of the company. Plus stream hit shows from CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Smithsonian Channel, and Comedy Central. Live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. Paramount Plus streaming now. I got my email from the company, BC, about activating my free account. Did you do that yet?
I did. I get it now for free. My family and I are enjoying it. And Luke, you can get CBS Sports HQ on there. Oh, by the way, that's also part of it.
Can
and
you, really?
You know what I've been watching that's exclusive to the Paramount app, Luke? Is there? Did you see they have the Real World 1 reunion show? That first cast from New York from 92, Luke? They reunited for a week during COVID and did a bonus reunion season. Luke, I am all over that ish, okay? That's my freaking wheelhouse. All of them. I love them all. They're back.
Do you remember when the first Real World came out and it was like, it wasn't just reality TV as we understand it. That didn't exist. What you understand to be reality television was not a thing. So this was very much like it was more treated like what? A science experiment? A gimmick, yes. A gimmicky science experiment where you didn't really know what was going to happen when they put them together and how weird it was going to be or what it would produce. It was, you know, revolutionary is a strong word, BC, but it was certainly groundbreaking.
Oh, it was. And that was before, you know, people figured out that you want sustained ratings for something like that. You have more of a Jersey Shore, or Real World Las Vegas type of shit show where you got drunk co-eds, you know, with no inhibitions. But what Real World season one was, and I know there's people that in hindsight call it boring. No, it was great. It was like, you know, there were some really interesting debates on racism and a few other serious topics, Luke, that were not only ahead of their time to have those debates on TV amongst, you know, young people like that, but there's still relative debates today. So it's pretty interesting. I know we're putting over a company app here, but they also have the full archive of like the MTV Real World and Road Rules history and challenge. So there's a lot of fun time you can kill on that thing, Luke. All right?
Remember when it used to be that Road Rules was the thing where you went on if you weren't cool enough or good enough to be on Real World? And that was, you were like the fucking discount store Real World guest, you know, or contestant or whatever?
I do, Luke. I do. Luke, do you have a favorite season of Real World at all? Were you day one-ish? I mean, were you watching season three?
Yeah, I was day one. I would say probably the San Francisco season. Was that season five?
Yeah, season three. Great season. Yeah.
That's the one with Puck and then Pedro who died of HIV or AIDS.
Yes.
That was a crazy fucking season. That was a crazy season. Yeah, that
one was probably my number one. When I was in L.A. for Showtime for one of those Gervonta fights, Luke, I walked down to in Venice Beach where the season two house was and checked it out. It was pretty awesome, Luke. Okay.
Do you remember the one where in New Orleans where the guy was like, come on, be my baby tonight.
Oh, that David. That guy's, that guy's the best and worst. Yeah.
Ski, dabba-doo-wee, dabba-doo-die.
Come on. It's very Tyron Woodley-like, Luke, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Did he have a song called I'll Beat Your Ass? Did he have that?
It was close. Yeah. I mean, their music, they should collaborate, Luke. It's pretty close. I'll tell you that.
All right, BC, your chance. We got, tell the folks what's next. The show is yours for right now.
Yeah. No Wheel of Death this week because we've got so much other crap to waste your time. I mean, look, isn't that what life is about? Finding things to distract you and waste your time as you get closer to death?
I mean, we're talking about a dude who did scat talk on the New Orleans season of The Real World.
Yeah.
Ski, dibbidi-wee, dibbidi-wee. Come on, be my baby tonight. I've seen those other thugs you've been with. Come on, be my baby tonight.
Yeah. Woo! All right, Luke, every Wednesday, some Wednesdays, what we do is we scour the interwebs in We bring to light the latest and greatest beefs between athletes on social media. And let's bring in the honorable, the dishonorable judge, Luke Bader Ginsburg, for this week's SJW.
SJW.
All right. Order in the court here. The great judge has sat down. Luke, we start off with the aforementioned Aljamain Sterling. Things got heated on the old twits. Here we go. Aljo says, not the way I ever want to win a fight. It was close, competitive, filled with action. I felt the knee was intentional, especially after the ref announced I was a downed opponent. So I didn't expect to be hit. Jan is a bad dude. We will do it again. This was Aljo's immediate Saturday night post-fight reaction, Luke, after all that went down. Here right. comes P. Oder. Thank you. P. Oder Jan. He says, I apologize and wish a speedy recovery to Funkmaster MMA. I didn't mean to throw an illegal strike. I just made a big mistake and I paid for it. Okay. And Mirab Davashvili, Luke, posted a picture on Twitter. Yes, he posted a picture on Twitter of him and Sterling after the fight at the hotel with the belt between them. And you know who didn't like that, Luke? Peyoter Jan. So, wow. I mean, like, really, how unprofessional is this show, Luke, right?
It's a stupid show.
Yeah, it's pretty damn dumb. All right, he says, glad to see the champ is fine now. All right, we're heating up here. Let's go to the next slide. Aljo responds, all that talking stops when we're face to face. We can do this fight next instead at Dana White. But he's okay. Not talking about Jan, Luke, right?
No, that's Henry Cejudo right there.
He's talking about the tweet Mirab put out of a video taken inside the hotel of him and Henry Cejudo going face to face. So, Luke, maybe let's bring back a little of the Aljo hate. I open up the show saying, hey, get off this guy's balls. But this tweet does rub me a little bit of the wrong way. This is Aljo taking a video of him and Cejudo and saying, look, we can do this fight next at Dana. Are you okay with that, Judge? It's an opportunistic idea, but
yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not saying that he hasn't done things that look a little bit contradictory to what initially was happening on Fight Night. I'm not saying that that's not true, or at least you don't have a right to perceive things that way. But at the same time, Juan has indicated maybe he just changed his mind about certain things because he felt differently. And the other part is, dude, it's done. It doesn't matter. It's over. You can't go back and revisit it. If you don't like the rules, and that's okay if you don't like the rules. If you think the rules are bad or they should be different or whatever, fine. But to me, again, I can't say it enough. You don't know how injured he was. And even if he wasn't at all, he was incentivized to do exactly what he did. After that, if shit, I have the hiccups, I apologize. If shit doesn't match that, then it doesn't match that. You're just compounding your own frustration for no reason.
Luke, don't never be afraid. We're burping in the show. I mean, this is like the Bohemian Grove.
I have hiccups on the air. I don't know what's wrong with me.
We're just pissing everywhere, Luke. I mean, you can fart in your hand and smell it again. I don't care, Luke. All right. Well, Peyote Jan did not like that. He quote tweeted and said, paper champ already ducking the rematch. So Aljo came back with a SpongeBob meme, Luke, and he said, I didn't know he was down. I'm going to fake apology now. Talking some slander against Peyoter Jan.
That's the old right. SpongeBob meme.
And here's where Jan responded with the meme. It's a picture of Aljo posing with the belt and his friends at the hotel. And here's the quote, I won't accept the belt this way. And then 5 minutes later, there's Aljo celebrating.
I know, but people, here's the thing. Does that picture look bad? Yes. Excuse me. The picture looks bad. The picture looks like a total contradiction of what had happened inside the cage. But I can also imagine, and he explained it, that he had 30 people come to see him and that they wanted to toast him late at night. So he agreed to it. Like, is that true either? I don't fucking know what the truth is, but it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it's, yes, it's a bad look, but who cares?
All right. Well, Aljo quote tweeted the response and said, you're right, Petey. I should have told everyone who flew out to Las Vegas to not come to my house, to not say they were happy to see me, and to not want any pictures with me. By this logic, I should have been locked in my room until my next fight. Makes sense. Aljo later tweeted this Photoshop meme saying, maybe Piotr Jan need a break from champion. So the need is spelled K-N-E-E, and he's posting a photo of him posing with Jan. Is that a photoshopped photo, Luke? What's going on
here?
That
appears to be photoshopped, you see. Yes.
Okay, it's a photoshopped photo in which there's a man wearing a shirt saying, "Life is short, break the rules." Okay. That's an interesting comeback there from Aljo. Jan responds with, "You took that knee like a champ. Done celebrating yet?" And then we get back from Sterling. Celebrating what? Two training camps for your dumb ass to just do some dumb illegal shit? How does the champ not know the rules? Because you are too stupid to know the rules. I have to watch to start training again for a rematch, bro. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we're getting long here, but you get the gist of where we're going.
Yeah.
Other people did chime in, Luke. Opportunistic here. TJ Dillashaw, the former champ,
love this tweet, BC. I love this tweet.
Oscar goes to @FakeMaster for best actor in a title fight, and Piotr Jan needs a crash course in the rules of the sport he was once champion in. Hey, Piotr, now you're a cheater too, bitch. Dude, those are fighting words right there, Luke.
Yeah, nothing explains MMA more than fighters policing the authenticity of each other while doing a pro wrestling heel act.
Yes.
That is my favorite thing on earth. I'm going to go out here and police all of your inauthentic identities and statements, and I'm going to do it, for some reason, talking like Foghorn Leghorn, but more importantly, in a totally fake, non-existent persona for the total... needs of the fight game by feeding a media cycle that is driven off absolute inauthenticity. I'm going to accuse you of being inauthentic while being the most inauthentic.
The only thing authentic in this dumb sport is us, Luke, you and I, all right? Yeah. Aljo closed this conversation by saying to TJ, "You cheated your entire UFC career and you have the balls to call someone an actor. You lost your manhood when you decided to inject yourself so that you actually compete. I hope Sanhagen tools like he did to you in practices before." I think at this point from Aljo, we've lost the English language, Luke, but you might get the gist of where he was going. Is he saying you lost your manhood when you injected that because your balls tend to shrink during steroid use, Luke?
That, or just, you know, from a metaphorical standpoint, the thing that makes you a man was taken away. I thought that was one of his better... TJ is going to have a hard time getting over this thing ever, especially until he books his first like post suspension win. So I think Jan did a better job of getting at Aljamain, at least in terms of like, you know, Twitter beef rules. But I do think that the dunk on TJ was good for Aljo.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Jan the win in this one. This guy's pretty good on social media. Whoever's running that account, Luke,
they do a good job for him.
All right, let's switch over to boxing for the next social justice war on this Wednesday, Luke. Gervonta Davis quote tweeted a tweet from someone in Australia who put up a picture of Ruguru, Regis Prograis, and Gervonta Davis. This account, Boxing Australia, tweeted, "If these guys fight, who wins?" Right? So just so people know, Regis Prograis fights at 140 pounds. Gervonta Davis holds titles at 130 and 135 and is threatening to move up to 140 to take on Mario Barrios. We'll see if that happens. So Tank quote tweeted it and said, "I will beat the shit out of this bum ass N-word." Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, Luke. Ruguru did not like that. He quote tweeted and responded, "Lil boy, don't mention my effing name if you don't want no spoke. I ain't for this back and forth shit. I'm ready to wreck something. Let's get it popping. Yo, big sister ducking me, so I guess he sent to yo flock ass." Okay, this show's falling apart, Luke, as I'm struggling through this.
No, this is the best part. Is like when two 40-year-old white dads try to read tweets from like young athletes.
"He ain't gonna have no choice but to come see me." So, Luke, who is he talking about when he says your big sister? He's talking about Adrian Broner, I assume.
Has to be, right? Because it's talking about somebody up a weight class that he's tight with. Who else would it be?
Ruguru sent out one more tweet saying, y'all really think that tank could fuck with me? I mean, I know he's popular and a pretty good fighter, but I would hurt that little boy. Floyd never let him close to me. They'll need a restraining order after fucking with me. So, Luke, that's the gist of the exchange between the two. How fired the frick up would you be if this actually became a thing?
Yeah, it won't, because it's awesome and exciting and boxing doesn't do that. But yes, Regis Prograis, for folks who may not know, very MMA friendly, has trained with Jose Aldo, at Pedro Rizzo's academy when he goes to Brazil. His wife is black, but she's black from Brazil. And so when they go back to Brazil, he trains at some of the various MMA academies, has a good relationship with several MMA fighters. And by the way, in boxing, can box his fucking ass off. He is amazing. He's a great showman. I actually think he would beat Tank Davis, and I don't think he'd be especially close. So this is not, you know, this, like, Tank being like, oh, I would knock this bum out. I'm like, nah, I don't think so.
Do That's you? Interesting to say it wouldn't be close. I mean, look, the question that would need to be answered is Tank is kind of short for the divisions he's in, so he'd have a size disadvantage, Luke, from height to girth. Could his power carry at 140? That's a big question. And simultaneously, could he take the power of a full junior welterweight? Now, Prograis gets on that lead foot and just walks you down and attacks you. So this would be a hellacious fight, Luke. It's interesting. I wonder where the odds makers would be at, knowing that Tank's more skilled, but he's the guy coming up in weight. I don't know if he'd get rolled, Luke, but this is interesting. I hope this continues. I hope this continues.
I mean, I need to see more Prograis tape, but from what I've seen, I'm not automatically going to side with the idea that Tank is more skilled. Tank, I think, is the naturally, he's small, but for his size, I think pound for pound, he has better punching power. I think that's true. And he does have some slickness, but he takes rounds off, and this is 140, not 130 or 135. I tend to think I would favor not like heavily, but clearly I would favor him clearly. Yeah.
I'm of the belief that Tank hasn't had the chance to show how good he can box, because he just blows through people. I really believe that. I see something. Luke, I see things. All right. I do.
Okay.
I see dead people, Luke.
All right.
All right, final SJW of the week, Luke. Conor and Nate are back at it. So Conor McGregor quote tweeted Chamakar Sandhu and says, where Chamakar said, done it all, still here. I'm sorry, I screwed that up, Luke. So Sandhu puts out, one thing I'll never forget is covering UFC 196, where Conor, you know, had to kill himself to make featherweight, along with a picture of what he looked like shortly after, a few months later, as basically a welterweight against Nate. Conor quote tweeted that, done it all, still here. Thank you. Got it. This might be the last time we ever attempt this segment. Okay.
That's a great tweet. I'm glad we saw it.
Yeah, this is great. Nate replied, though, Luke. Nate saw this. He says, I fucked you up and you never got it back, but you acted like you did. Now you get a rematch every time you get your ass beat like a spoiled little bitch. Would I've done it all and I'm still here?
No, you got your ass beat like a spoiled little bitch would. Next sentence. I've done it all. Okay.
See, the lack of punctuation. Look, this is like editing my children's homework. That lack of punctuation, it's tough here. Okay. I've done it all and I'm still here. Plus, the guy who just beat your ass is a scared little bitch. Okay. All right.
Also, fuck you both. This is the letter we're going to receive from CBS Sports when they fire us.
Okay. What do you got?
They're going to call us. They're going to call us little bitches and then be like, also, fuck you both.
Yeah, I don't know if this segment has life, Luke, but your thoughts on this little dust.
I don't give a shit. I don't care. I side with everyone who didn't read these tweets, because you're the luckiest people on earth.
Did you see that Conor McGregor may have sold Proper 12 and doubled his net worth?
It wasn't possible. It's a fact. He sold it and he made a shit ton of money doing it. And good for him.
Okay. All right. Well, Luke, here's the other shitty segment we do on Wednesdays. It's where the people show us what they've done with their lives. Okay. So it's called Fan Submissions. And every Wednesday, of course, you can hit us up ahead of time. We've got mail at morningcombat@gmail.com. Show us your merch. Show us you. Show us yourself. No stick pics, but show us what you got. All right.
Send Luke, your dick pics to Brian's Instagram.
We start out with Greg Mack, who says, I'm repping with my MK hat in the Muay Thai gym. I feel like I need to defend myself as I wrote in about lifting weights with gloves on because I have a nickel allergy, one of the fastest growing sensitivities in Western nations, Luke. I challenge Luke to some light sparring if he's ever in Chicago. This former airman will light that former Marine on fire and show him the power of lifting with gloves. In all seriousness, I'm a huge fan. You guys and Jack Slack really pushed me over the edge to begin training, which was a great decision for my life. Wow, Cub Swanton's going to love this guy. Much love from Chicago, Greg Mack. P.S. BC, I love your factory town humor. And Luke, I don't roast my ink too hard.
Oh, I was gonna.
That peace sign. Peace sells, Luke, but who's buying that tattoo,
the
right?
Peace sign, I actually don't mind. But the stuff around the script, I don't quite get.
Well, shout out to this fella for wearing that black MK hat. We appreciate you. And Luke, this former airman would light your ass up in the sparring ring.
Yeah, airmen tend to think that, but they join the Air Force for a reason.
All right, shout out to Greg Mack just the same. Let's move over to a fella named Shim. I think it's a man, I'm not sure. Afternoon, chaps. Big love from England. Luke, nobody from the UK says people from Ireland, quote, speak Irish rather than Gaelic.
I literally got 5 or 6 DMs from Irish people saying I was right to call it Irish. This guy can suck on my balls. How about that?
All right. He says, you donk, love the absolute authority with which you stated it. Mind, but you're dead wrong. And BC,
no, I'm definitely not, but okay.
And BC, stop looking at my pussy during the show.
See, this guy's dumb. First of all, instead of tweeting the show, work on your cable management, guy. I mean, you know, it's a nice fucking plate of spaghetti you've laid out there behind your television. I mean, look at this. What are you working at a fucking Best Buy? Get your shit together, guy. Number one.
You damn geek squad.
Number two, BC, do you know where I learned that it's called Irish? I had lunch with my brother and his coworker who was from Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, not Northern Ireland. And he told me it's called Irish. This motherfucker is trying to try. Dude, have you noticed, like for example, I don't give a fuck about this royal wedding thing, or not royal wedding, the interview that the royals did with Oprah. It did 17 million views, but whatever. I didn't watch it. The Brits don't like it when you have opinions about the royals. Have you noticed that? As an American,
yeah, they want you to have at least 3 amateur fights before doing that.
Yeah, they don't want you to have an opinion about it. It's like, it's kind of like that with all things, you know, UK, and obviously in general they're going to know much better. But the guy who told me it was Irish was motherfucking Irish. So,
well, Shim closes by saying, "Keep up the weekly debauchery and good riddance to Jay." Wow, that's an editorial
Jesus,
right there.
That's harsh.
Luke, Meghan Markle, sneaky beyond,
like, yeah,
plus size.
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you for being honest for once. God, for one time in your life on the show, Luke.
Yeah, she doesn't fight. I don't think it's wrong for me to be like, yeah, she's not ugly. But if she's fighting, I think it's a little on the unprofessional side.
Yeah, it's a little unprofessional. I would never do that. All right, Bruce B. is back, Luke. He says, hey, Luke, BC and the crew, just living my best suburban life, enjoying homemade Poirier buffalo wings. Stay frosty, Bruce B. All right.
Looks good, dude. The wings look sharp. He's got the blue cheese. You can see the chunks in the sauce. Got a good beer. Got some hot sauce. Got a mug. Got some fights, BC. This ain't a bad life, man. It ain't a bad life.
You and I had an off-camera debate yesterday. Why do you have issue with me having Dustin Poirier at number 5 pound for pound right now?
More so that you're pronouncing it like Barbara Walters in 1986.
I'm listening to you. I'm following your lead.
I say okay? Poirier. Okay. I don't go Poirier.
Okay, all right, Luke. This is
Dustin Poirier is coming in at 5.
We're falling apart really quick. Alex Poirier. N has 2 of them, Luke. Here's the first one. Not for sale, please don't sue, but Morning Combat is a gift to our shop speakers nearly every day. So here's an homage to both of you. The Luke Thomas combo is the Jim Beam and Diet Mountain Dew. Luke, this is spectacular. There's an MK tumbler in there. So this man made this, Luke, Alex N., okay? And here's the second one. This one's for BC. It's the BC Omegang 3 Philosophers and a gas station hot dog. The shop.
BC, have you had the Omegang 3 Philosophers?
Yes, fantastic beer. Yeah, I have it's had very this. Good. Yes. It says, Luke, they are offering to ship this to us, this creation. Yeah, hell
we should
yeah.
Do it. Sure. Yeah, we should give them the address for the bomb shelter, and we'll just pick it up next time we're there.
Okay. I'm down with that. I love this creation. Shout out to their shop. We'll get the information to give them some plugs.
And big thanks. That's
fantastic
awesome.
Fantastic work. All right. Scott D. has a something he's created of Luke and men, it says. Let's zoom in here.
I can't see because the thing.
All right. It says, Luke is saying in a quote bubble, "When do I get to pet the fluffy little bunny, BC?" And
when
yeah,
you
I think
finish the documentary, good dare, Luke. Good dare?
And then there's an arrow pointing at your ass, Luke, and yep. It says, "All about that bass." Wow. Yep. Luke, no treble going on down below there, Luke.
I see that, buddy. I see that. Says, I'm telling you. Working on the diet, bro. What do you want me to do?
I mean, yeah, I'm working on it. What are you doing here? And then he says, "Is this the big booty Latina BC has been talking about?" Wow, Luke, he's calling you a big booty Latina. I don't.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Is
I wish I would look at my ass all in the mirror. I wish I was. No, I'm just gross.
All right. Hey, their next one is from an inconsolable cat. It says, "Dear Morning Combat, I think of Luke as a complicated whiskey." Wait, is this? Are we even reading the right one?
This is fucking cool, but this is not the right one.
"An acquired but delicious taste is Luke, and BC is a spritzy mixer who always brings the bubbles. Together, you make the perfect Morning Combat cocktail," and that's with a K, by the way. "Thanks for all you do. I hope you like this art. With love, the inconsolable cat."
I like the concept, Calvin and Hobbes, Campbell and Thomas. But I don't know what this got to do with the whiskey explanation. Although I like that independent of this.
Yes, yes. All right, our people are messaging us. Okay, thank you. Let's keep it rolling here. Becky L. says, "Luke didn't want to share what his father's text message was on the show the other day. So this is how I think the text messages went between Luke and his father during last Wednesday's show. I think BC might be able to use this on the Monday show." Well, we're playing it on the Wednesday show. So, Luke, here's a mock text of Papa Thomas saying, "I'm very proud of you, son. The steak you made last night was the best I've ever had." And Luke says, "Hello, father. I think you meant to send this message to your other son, the chef." And your dad says, "Oh, shit. Did you find a real job yet? Or do you still do that internet sports show from your bedroom?"
I mean, the best part is the only part that sounds like him is the last one. Number one. And number two, he would never even tell his other son he was proud. That's how you know it's not my dad.
Yeah. All right. Luke, it was Rustic Tribe Design were the folks who created that wooden art for us there. That's fantastic job. Okay. Is this
Oh, my
more
God. This
Becky?
Goes on? Jesus Christ.
Luke says, "I think you would be proud to know that I am an on-air CBS analyst for the past 2 years." And your dad says, "No shit. You're on CBS News like on television." And Luke says, "Well, it's CBS Sports News, and it's still an internet show, and I do it from my home office, not my bedroom, with a fancy bookshelf behind me."
Very fancy, BC. I bought it from IKEA.
And then it's Luke asking if his dad is proud of him, and he gets no response. Papa?
Why does it go from blue to green? I know what it means. Blue is if they have an iPhone. Green is if it doesn't. Does it change if they block you or something?
I don't know, Luke. I don't know where we are anymore, really. Let's just try to get out of this the best we can. Right. Ivan M. says, "This is the moment you realize eating all that sauce was a mistake."
Yeah, a little bit of heartburn. You got to get that. You got to get that, what you call it, the Prilosec, OTC.
Luke, you'll never live that moment down, your celebration of all things Poirier.
I don't give a shit. I'm not trying to live it down.
Embrace it. Lean into it, Luke. Okay?
That's right. Aljo should be like, "Yes, I fucking... acted it up, and I can do that because that's part of the rules, bitches."
All right. Hey, Kevin L. says, "Luke crawls for Halloween candy after breaking his back," and it's a, is that a Die Hard meme, Luke?
Yeah, who's crawling through the air duct. No, mine was more pathetic. I was more on my side, but that was about my face when my back was fucking scrunched. That was a terrible time, dude. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
You went a full day without getting up, and you just ate Halloween candy?
Yes.
Didn't you have a cell phone?
Yes.
Did you call anyone?
Yes.
Did they?
But
come
I couldn't.
You?
I couldn't order food because I couldn't sit up to grab the door handle. You understand?
Okay. Do you have like a family member that could come over and like help you not have to like live on the floor?
Do I have a family member who would come over to help me? Is that a serious question?
Okay. Wow. All right. I'm going to move on. This is getting sad. Scott D says he's got an MMA meme for us, Luke. It's from the movie Twins. Can you blow it up, Manich?
Luke on live chat.
The MMA community hugging Luke. So the MMA community is Arnold hugging Danny DeVito of Luke on live chat. So I guess that Scott D is saying, Luke, that the people want more solo Luke and less Morning Combat. I think that's what Scott's saying, Luke.
Yeah, but Danny DeVito was a loser-ass creep in that movie. Like, you would want more of that? I don't think that's right.
I don't think he thought it through that deeply. He probably never saw the movie, Luke.
Yeah, some of these memes are not that great, by the way.
Do we have quality control? Where's Mikey Mormau when we need him?
Yeah, Mikey's right. Mikey, you let some things through the filter that, man, dude,
Mikey would probably respond by saying, "Hey guys, you've had a rundown for 4 days.
I know.
You didn't read
Mikey,
it.
Our producer will put together the rundown, send it to us well in advance. We will not look at it and then blame him for what's in it,
and then complain 10 minutes before the show starts that we don't have all these video elements because we never told anybody. It does happen, Luke. All right.
It does.
David S says, "This is what I think is going through Luke's head every time BC makes a dong joke, and I know BC is getting triangled, but at least he's got a purple belt." Keep killing it. Love the show. Wish you both the best. If you dig it, I'll definitely do more for you. Wow, Luke. He's basically cruel intentioning you and saying you can put it anywhere, Luke.
I like the artwork, but I would like to see something different. Like, okay. I like your face and my face, but I would like to see something different.
What move is that, Luke? What is he doing there?
It's one of the Senkaku fucking triangles. I don't know. I mean, there's different varieties of triangles. This is just one of the varieties. I don't know the specific name for it.
Luke, Scott D is imagining what it will be like when you're reporting from Colombia for a month. How Luke thinks he will report Morning Combat from Colombia.
I don't know if this is racist. I'm going to say it's not in the interest of good humor, but I will say if it's not, it's a little adjacent.
Still pretty funny, Luke. Still pretty close to funny, though. All right?
First of all, it's a little on the funny side. The FARC doesn't exist anymore, at least not as a guerrilla group. And that's a little on the racist side, but I'll let it slide.
This is where
I know
you would give Scott D a passionate tongue lashing about why making drug jokes about Colombia or the drug trade is an insult to your extended family, Luke.
Well, first of all, they're just stupid, right? Like everyone who makes a drug joke thinks that their drug joke is like very, very funny and the first one that's ever been made at like a party or a comment in a coffee shop or something. When in the reality is they're not funny. Not to say like they couldn't be funny, but like their version of it is not funny. And it's certainly hackneyed. I one time was watching, this was years ago. My wife and I were first dating. And we were in a bar, and then they were watching, you know how like the Olympics, they always have the opening ceremony where each like country that's represented comes through, you know? And this was the Winter Olympics, and Colombia had, you know, just a handful of members on whatever the team was. They didn't hardly do any participation in it, but just a little bit. And someone was like, how do you train for the Winter Olympics in Colombia? Do you ski on a mountain of coke? You know, just like the worst fucking dad humor you could ever imagine. And he thought that was like very clever and very funny. Like he went back to it. The reason why it's not that funny is because yes, people do drugs in Colombia, but not like you think. I've said this before. What they do is they manufacture drugs in the jungles, and then that goes to Europe or the United States or Mexico. It's not their drugs, it's ours. But more to the point, and this is the part that gets kind of serious, which is that if you know anyone about my wife's age or a little bit older, so let's say my age, 40, 41, something like that, what you begin to realize is everybody you meet around that time has some kind of deep scar from the narco trafficking wars that took place, and then also from the government instability that helped create the FARC. As I mentioned, you know, my wife lost her father this way. Right. They have a family member who has a leg missing or a missing from the knee down because he was in a movie theater and kicked a bomb. Plenty of people have had their, you know, their significant others or brothers or whoever kidnapped, never to be heard from again. Like, it goes, you can go down the line. And every one of them has a story about my brother's dead, my sister's dead, my mother's dead, my father's dead. All of them are dead because of the violence that has scarred that place. So I'm not saying you can't make a joke about it, but it should be pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like that's like, at least, Luke, I worked the 94 World Cup into my Columbia jokes. Like, I, yeah. Luke, I was pleasantly surprised that the second Morning Combat doc, they left out that spectacular joke I landed, which followed by you humbling me and making me feel really bad about things. All right.
Yeah, it's not off limits. Nothing is off limits, but try to make it good. That's what I would say.
Okay, we all can live and learn here, Luke. Alan W. has got three of them for us. Here's the first. I don't know what this is. Something about Joanna, he says.
You're the T-1000?
Yes, from Terminator with bullet holes through me, and it says I'm looking for Joanna Young Jacek.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Okay. All right. Here's this next one, Luke. He's going Super Troopers on us.
Can you blow it up? I don't want a large, Brian. I want a goddamn liter of cola. Will you just order a large? Okay, I don't get it, but I guess, is that a Super Troopers reference? Must
yes,
be, right?
Yes, it is, Luke.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen all of it, so I'm lost on this, Luke. We're really ruining. Luke, if we could actually, I know this show's live, but if we could just end it and remove it,
yeah,
it would be as if it never happened, Luke.
You okay? Know what didn't need to happen? Today's show. We didn't really need to do one, did we? We're just paid to do one. But like, if you think about like essential content, the show today, not essential.
Hopefully people just like hanging out with us, Luke. So we'll keep it going here. All right. Yeah. Alan W's final one says a live look at 100,000 subs.
Okay, that's
Luke
better.
Salt Bae. Yes.
That's better. I like that a lot better. And there's your sad face getting a terrible tattoo. Yes. I love it.
That's well done from Alan right there. As Luke's going all Salt Bae on that ass. Okay. Yes. Final one from Joseph K. He says, been waiting for this. Big Dan, but them's the rules. Is this English? Does anyone know how to check English anymore?
So what are we looking at?
Is this a video?
For the winner, and still, the undisputed UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, the pride of Poland, Jan Błachowicz.
Oh, true.
I mean, you know, I probably could have ran in dead wrong, Luke, but, you know, you got to go out on a limb sometimes, and that's the beauty of sports. Luke thinks none of us know shit. We shouldn't make predictions. No, you make them, and then... You were wrong, Luke.
Okay. Yeah. I don't see you having to answer for your god-awful predictions, mostly because people aren't paying attention to them. But, this is why I don't do them.
Is that a jab at my subscriber total on YouTube, Luke, and Twitter?
Well, it must be nice to make all the same errors but get away from it by virtue of, what do you want to call it, anonymity? Whatever
is
you want to call that.
Is it anonymity, Luke, or is it likability?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little column A, a little column B. But, listen... Thought he was going to win. Thought he was going to win handily. Still think he could have if he had gone a couple things differently, but he didn't. And that wasn't the reality. And your boy got it spectacularly wrong. So I got to take the L. I'll just take the L.
All jokes aside, thank you guys for sending in your fan submissions.
Yes.
MorningCombat@gmail.com. And I'm not trying to roast Mikey. I did have a few days to read these, Luke. I didn't read them. Okay, so maybe we all need to look in the mirror. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I look at the other stuff. I don't look at the fan submissions so that my reactions can be...
natural,
you know,
yes.
Yeah, organic. So
I can't do that too.
I can't help him with that. I need someone else to look them through like one more time, be like, is this really funny? Because if not...
Yeah, I'll become that man for us, all right? I'm sorry to the people that we shit all over the floor with this show, okay?
Yeah. All right.
Luke, one thing is our producers are telling me we've got a little sound to throw to get people excited about Saturday's Showtime. So here's David Benavidez. You just told me head sound. What the hell's going on with today's show? Oh, I don't speak tech. L3? What does that mean?
Lower third, fuckhead. Lower third.
Thanks, Manich. See, now Manich is sore at me, Luke. Okay. So, yes, like and subscribe, Morning Combat. Please tell your friends. Good bonus content out there. A great sit down with David Benavidez to get you fired up for Saturday's return when he takes on Ronald Ellis in the super middleweight main event. Big business at 168. So, check that out. Luke, I apologize to you as well for this show. It is a breakdown, just a full breakdown.
It didn't need to happen. Like, it was very extraneous. They just made us do it because we get paid. But today's show did not need to exist. There
Manich,
is a
I'm
UFC
sorry.
Show this weekend.
All right. Can I plug your music career, Manich? One of these days I will. I love it. All right. He's a soulful white guy, Luke. Okay.
Certainly is. All right. So let's wrap things up here very quickly. Tomorrow, live chat, 3 p.m. Friday show, which does need to take place because we will preview some of the boxing that weekend, some of the UFC that weekend. There's some stuff happening. So stick around for that. You can follow us on Morning Combat with the same name anywhere, but our names between Instagram and Twitter, as you can see, for Brian and I, switch up a little bit. By the way, it's fine for the dead wrong today because I deserve to get the dead wrong. But if you've got some other ones, go to morningcombat@gmail.com. Send them in. Label them dead wrong in the subject line so that we know. And please double check it, will you? I have people being like, J Balvin Mexican. I'm like, there's no fucking way I called him that. I was like, where's the timestamp? And they gave me the timestamp, and I went back and I listened, and it clearly says I'm talking about Canelo. So he didn't actually submit it for a dead wrong because it wasn't, but I saved that man a little bit of a click. I need you guys to do your little homework. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I got that shit wrong, fine. But if it's not, you know, okay. Let's see. If you want some merch, you can go to store.show.com. You can be decked out like me and Brian, looking like a sexaholic. I don't know. I don't know what we look like, but not that. If you want, let's see, Showtime, you can go to showtime.com and you can try 30 days for free. If you like it, you can keep it. If not, you can go pound sand. If you join now for Bellator, first 6 months, I think it's $5 a month, something like that, $4.99. And that's it until tomorrow at 3 or Friday at 11 BC. Any final thoughts before we close today's very superficial and extraneous show?
No, I'm done. That's it.
All right, for Brian Campbell, I'm Luke Thomas. We're from CBS Sports. Thanks to Showtime, as well as Malka, as well as all you good folks out there. And until next time, may all of your gains be loyal.